coast to coast.
Hey, everybody, it's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Dr. Drew, board certified internist, addiction medicine specialist. You know, Drew, ever since your friend said I should say board certified internist instead of board certified physician,
it screws you up every night.
Each night when I get to that word in the sentence, I flip-flop back and forth 1,000 times in my head.
Not like I haven't noticed.
Physician internist, physician internist, physician. All right. One of the many things I have to think about that make no difference in my life, which can join the other 900 billion other things I think about that make no difference in my life. No guests tonight. We're just talking Sunday night. We're going to do a show on tolerance. Yeah, tolerance. That's not going to be a boring show, though. There'll be some interesting opinions laid out. Drew, I was watching TV, and I see all those public service announcements now where they talk about tolerance, and they have these celebrities telling you... Even joking teaches hate. And I'm watching this thing and I thought, are you kidding? I've heard 7 million Pollock jokes in my life. I'd be perfectly fine with a couple Pollocks sitting on the plane with me. maybe not flying the plane, because we all know them in the Pollocks.
Nice.
They can't steer a plane. But, you know, I think we do overdo it in this just a little bit.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, really, I've heard... My favorite jokes are the racial jokes.
Nothing
better. And I really have heard several hundred thousand Pollock jokes. And it's the main joke I heard growing up.
Yeah.
I don't know what happened to Pollock jokes. I long for those days. The simple days where we had a good Pollock joke. But I've heard thousands of Pollock jokes growing up. Grade school, junior high school. It does not really affect the way I think of the polls. It really doesn't. Do you know what I'm saying?
No. Right. Yes,
it was just a joke.
Yeah.
I don't.
You've always made the point. In fact, I've heard you say this many, many times in regards to many of your sort of statements, which is it's comedy.
Yeah.
It's meant to be comedy. It's meant to be funny.
I think people know that. And that's why they're telling a joke many times. And to say that teaches hate, I think that's just a little overstatement. And, you know, what's wrong with a little comedy now and again? I'm not sure about the blacks. Yeah. Tyler?
Yeah.
You're 17?
Yeah.
Heard any good Pollock jokes?
Not really.
Okay, see? They've gone.
My question is, okay, I'm 17 and I just moved here from California, wherever, I don't know. But this guy, he's not really out, but it's really obvious he's gay. And, like, we kind of hit it off and, like, started talking and whatever.
You're gay.
You're right.
Yeah. And so...
As if.
Yeah. So he, I don't know. So one night, like, we went to a party together and we were, like, hitting on each other. And...
You were doing what on each other?
Spitting?
On each other.
Hitting.
Yeah. And so then we drove off and dropped off a friend and he's like, what do you want to do? And, like, so we ended up, like, making out and going down on each other.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so...
You're gay.
True, we heard you the first time. Go ahead.
And what's your question, Tyler?
So, like, I don't know, like, we talk at school and stuff, like, regular, like, we're friends and stuff, but I don't know, I just want to... I don't know how to approach it, like, to talk to him, like...
You like him, right?
Yeah.
But he's sort of ignoring you.
He's not ignoring me, he's just ignoring what we did.
Is he...
Right.
We won't talk about it? Or
he's ignoring the bond that they had made between the two of them, and he's ignoring Tyler a little bit.
Do you think he's afraid you'll sort of blow
his other cover?
I don't know. Like, he just doesn't really want to talk. I don't know. I haven't really discussed this.
I mean, maybe he's just not comfortable with his being gay. Maybe he's afraid you'll pull him out of the closet. Maybe he doesn't want a relationship right now. He's afraid you're heading down that path. I think you just ought to pull him aside and talk to him.
So just say, like, I don't know.
Yeah, just, tell him how you feel.
Okay.
You want to see him again? That was a good thing. You liked that, what happened.
You're calling from Utah?
No. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, okay. All right, good times over there.
Oh, God, I just moved here and it sucks.
Yeah, it's not gay territory over there.
No.
This guy may be freaked out if he's gay, if he's you know,
yeah,
part of the community.
Have a talk with him. Don't freak him out.
Okay.
But have a talk with him, and you'll get your answer, and either you'll be happy with it or unhappy with it, but you'll have an answer.
Yeah.
And then you can move on.
Okay.
All right, Tyler, that's fine. And, you know, it was just running through my head, Drew, was I don't know where, what goes on, but there's this whole thing, and it's been prevalent in my life, and I'm sure it has in yours, too, that you cannot talk to the opposite sex who may be potential for some kind of relationship. You can never have a straight-up conversation with them. It's always like some kind of used car deal that's going on.
Yeah, it's a negotiation.
Everything's a negotiation. Yeah. They're sitting there going, hey, I got a guy coming out here in about a half hour, says he's got cash, so if you're not looking to buy, I got another guy coming in, and you go, well, it's another dealer down the street, saw the same 86 to sell, I saw it for $1,400 cheaper, so I was going to swing by there. It's all negotiation, and it doesn't need to be that way, and the reach is, you get to a certain point in your life, I think, where you can just say to someone, hey, I'm attracted to you, or hey, I'm interested in you, or what about that encounter we had that meant something to me?
Not at 17.
No, but why not? Why not start it? Why not try it? Why not say to somebody you've been intimate with?
For the same reason you couldn't do it then. You know what I mean? It's hard to get that place.
But we didn't have me.
Yeah, I know. Telling you what to do.
I didn't even have me, man. I barely have me now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, young screwballs, that it's okay not to bum rush somebody emotionally, but it's okay to say to somebody.
To be direct.
Yeah, hey, I like you. Hey, you know, Saturday night we had a little encounter. I enjoyed that. I don't know what your feelings are. Did you enjoy it? I mean, you can do that.
You know what, though? I was watching that 70s show tonight, and they were having an exchange. You know, Topher,
Drew, what's wrong with you?
My kids like that show.
All right.
And, he's got his girlfriend, Topher Grace's girlfriend, and he goes, you know, what do you see in the future? And she goes, I don't know. Sometimes I think I'm with you. I thought to myself, God, I remember that. That you'd say, you know, everything okay? And they're like, you're so screwed up. So you don't know what the hell's coming next month.
I know, but you at least know if you like somebody right then, right now, in the hallway of school, and you can answer a few questions, and it doesn't make you a wuss to ask. Bill?
Yeah.
You're 36. What's up?
Yeah, you guys got to help me, man.
All right.
I've been divorced for about 10 months, and my problem is that, I mean, I've always been shy ever since, like, I was a kid, and, like, when I got married, you know, my ex-wife, she approached me, you know. I mean, I had girlfriends and stuff like that, but, you know, my problem is, I want to get married again, and I didn't have any kids with her, and I want to find, you know, I figure I got a target age between, like,
Bill.
24,
Bill. Bill, what is your question?
It's a demo, by the way.
You're all over the place.
I don't know how to approach a younger woman, and I mean, I look at him and go, man, she's hot, you know? But, I mean, I get all freaking choked up when I even...
It's the same thing we're talking about, right?
Yeah.
There's a 36-year-old going through this.
Right.
Bill, what do you do for a living?
Carpenter.
Carpenter?
Yeah.
Very noble. That's a horrible, horrible job. What kind of carpentry do you do?
Residential stuff.
What does that mean?
Do you finish stuff? Or
yeah, like trim work, that kind of thing, you know?
A little basin case?
Yeah.
Swing some doors?
Yeah.
All right. You any good?
Yeah, I make a decent living.
All right.
House, you know.
All right. Chicks kind of dig the carpentry thing. It's not a bad angle. Are you into it? You'll never meet any women on the job, obviously.
I meet a lot of housewives on my job.
Yeah, but you're some schmo working on their place and their husband's paying for it, and that ain't going to work out.
Yeah, you got amazed how much they want to talk to you, though.
You got anything you're into?
Not really. I mean, I got a
sheep.
Got a stack of porn here that I'm already, you know, I'm tired of it already.
Well, send it over here, by the way. As you know, there's all porn is new porn if you haven't seen it before. Do you know what I mean? It's not like day-old muffins or anything. Right. Your porn would be great. Brand new porn me, and my porn would be brand new for
Wait
you, even though I have many, many hard miles on my
Wait
pornography.
There could be a nice...
A porn exchange program. I've been talking about it for years.
A little eBay side...
We got to work some kind of network out. You know, you just pay postage, I'll send some junk over there.
You pay for the club, and somebody else's stuff arrives right
now. Yeah, and it doesn't cost any money. We just rotate stock.
It's like a chain letter.
Yeah, but you know what happens? Some a-hole starts working in the 40... and effable stuff in there with, you know, watch grandma get nailed kind of thing. Well, and then they ruin the whole sanctity of the whole thing.
Yeah, but you'd have a board, a panel.
A review board?
Yeah, to supervise the quality.
I have gone for a porn swap before. I have filled up a shopping bag with pornography, went over to my buddy Dave Craven's house and sat in his living room and traded porn back and forth like you do with trading cards. And you get the new stuff. It's great.
Oh, my God.
But wait, he could try to work some of that geriatric porn in on me. I wouldn't have any of it. Hey, Bill?
Yeah.
Okay. So you need to start trading porn.
No, Bill. So you need,
I could do that.
No, you need to start meeting people. You need to find, I mean, at 36 people use dating services. They use internet matchup services sometimes.
I'll give you a horrible experience. About 3 months ago, I did that dating service through the newspaper. You know, and I gave this one woman my phone number.
No. What does that mean through the newspaper?
You know, it's like it's the personals in the newspaper.
Yeah, that's not a dating service.
Oh, that was a nightmare.
That's, of course.
Like she phone stalks me.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
Dating service, you pay a substantial sum of money. They screen everybody. Yeah, usually it's pretty, for the better ones. You screen these people and you match up with what you want and they match up with you.
And it sounds ridiculous, but
it's a way of saving time. People are busy.
You get a lot of potential dates set up for you. And let me tell you, as an ex-carpenter, I can tell you, when you are an adult, the way you meet people is your job.
Yeah.
It is essentially college for adults. That's what the workplace is.
That's true.
And you are so effed.
If you're in construction.
When you're working construction, there's not a chick anywhere because you don't meet any women on your job. And then you go home, and what's your only shot? It's a bar. And you're screwed. Thank you. Taylor, that's my excuse at least. Taylor, you're 26.
Yeah, I got a question for Dr. Drew.
Taylor.
I'm a recovering heroin addict, and this last time of kicking, it's been a couple months, I'm having circulatory problems in my legs, like they're cold, and they get kind of numb, and they kind of ache, and I'm wondering if it's related.
What were you taking this time? How much?
Oh, I don't know, $100 a day.
And just IV heroin?
Yeah.
Nothing else?
No, that was my main deal.
No methadone, anything like that?
No. Didn't do any of that.
And you're how long off?
It's been about 2 months.
It could still be a withdrawal syndrome.
Really?
It really could. And you can get, eventually you will get a restless leg syndrome that's permanent.
Yeah, the twitching?
Yeah, and part of that can be pain and coldness and all kinds of funny achy feelings in the legs. So this may be all part of your restless leg syndrome.
Okay.
And there are a couple of medications for that you really ought to take advantage of. One is called Sinemet CR, and the other is called Mirapex.
Okay.
And as you know well, you can't take pain medication.
Right.
All right. Hey, good times. Let's talk to Athena up there. What do you think?
Where? Okay.
She's line
Wait,
five.
This one was the one I wanted. Actually, came on and left and came back.
Yeah?
Yeah.
You want to talk to
six
first. Is that Angel?
Yeah.
Oh boy. Mm. Always trouble. Mm. Never name your kid Angel. That's the one and only thing I've learned from this
Male
show
or
so
female.
Far. Doesn't matter. It's always ironic when they turn out to be junkies or murderers. Angel?
Yeah.
You're 33?
Yeah, I'm 33.
What's up?
Yeah, I got some questions I'd like to ask. Probably in the last year, I've started experimenting with cocaine, and I kind of like dragged my girlfriend into it with me.
Nice.
And, you know, we've been doing it for about a year already. And I don't like the effects it's having on me, but I somehow find myself addicted to it.
Well, right. Then you need to be treated. Cocaine is a profoundly, profoundly addictive drug.
Well, I didn't really know what I was getting into. I thought I could handle it.
Yeah, well, everyone thinks that.
Right.
But if you're not addicted, go ahead and stop. And if you can't stop, then you are addicted, and you need to get treatment. There's no other way.
There's no other way?
How do you get the money for it?
Well, I find myself in a position where it's easy for me to get.
Are you dealing?
No, not exactly.
All right.
But I surround myself around people that seem to make it easy on themselves.
How much is a gram these days?
I'm not really too sure about that.
You know what I love about this show?
Yeah.
I can never get a goddamn answer from anybody. I got a guy who's strung out on blow. I want to know how much a goddamn gram is. I can't get that.
I can't answer that.
Oh.
I can't even get a cokehead to tell me how much a gram is going for in Indiana. How does that work, Drew? I cannot believe a guy who him and his girlfriend have been doing a ton of blow over the last year does not know what a gram costs.
Just remember, whenever I ask a question, the answer is always no. You're just getting some of that.
Well, this is by the way, this is to those questions that don't have it where no answer won't work. Like
right.
I go, how much is a gram of Coke?
Yeah.
No. Now that doesn't work.
So it's, I don't know.
I don't know. Angel.
Yeah.
I want to know how much a gram of Coke is going for.
I don't know.
How much, seriously? Angel?
I don't really pay the same price as a lot of people that are paying.
Right,
a lot of it.
All right. It's not fair, Drew. It's not fair. It's not fair that I can't even talk to a
strangely,
coke addict.
When we all were threatened with destruction last week, people seemed to behave much more appropriately.
I know.
All of a sudden, all that crap let down. They stopped that BS for a week. Glorious week.
All right. All right, Angel, so you have no, even though you're strung out in the throes of addiction of cocaine, you got your girlfriend hooked on it, you really have no idea what a gram of coke goes for, right?
It's like 60 bucks.
I understand that. Okay. Drew, tell him what he should do.
You have to get treated, Angel.
Thanks.
And if you want, you can just start with CA. Just go to a 12-step program in your community. You'll find a lot of the people have been through this, a lot of other people, and you'll figure out how people get over it.
I have one question
that you can
help me out with. The effects that the cocaine has on the body, you know, I have my heart racing sometimes, and I'm not even doing it.
Yeah, it causes heart attacks.
Hold on. I don't know. Don't know.
It causes heart attacks.
Don't know.
Causes strokes. Can even cause kidney failure, seizures.
Drew's an addiction medicine specialist, but he don't know.
Don't know nothing. And it all tends to occur when you're under the influence of the drug. You know, you can get panic attacks. You can start to get mood lability, even bipolar types of conditions. A lot of depression and irritability when you try to stop.
Right,
so there's a lot to this.
You got
to get some support. You got to, and you may not be able to do it with CA. You may have to go actually into a hospital and get treated. It's a bad disease.
Can you really be a drug addict and not know how much the drug is? I mean, I understand he's not going down to the corner and buying it on the street, but. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Okay.
I somehow have gotten used to the insolence.
All right, not me. It's always new to me. It always feels like a fresh slap in the face. Athena?
Yeah.
All right, so Angel, go to CA, would you? And then find out how much a gram of Coke is and call me back.
No problem.
No, not you, Athena. That's Angel's work. You, I need to smuggle in a brick of heroin from Mexico. Okay, baby?
Okay.
All right, what's your question?
Hey, I just want to tell you that you're doing the youth of America a wonderful, wonderful good deed, and I appreciate you.
Thank you.
In fact, Dr. Drew inspired me to be a child psychologist and catch the psychos when they're young.
Oh, good, Athena. Cool.
Yeah. So you guys are awesome, and I appreciate
you. And you live in our favorite city, too.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we love Chicago.
Chicago is definitely the most awesome city in the world.
Did you have a question?
I'm
yeah.
afraid to go there now because any city freaks me out.
Go ahead.
Oh. Well, I have a boyfriend, and he's 4 years younger than me, and it does seem very awkward because he's 14, and obviously most 14-year-olds are, you know, throwing, you know, spit wads at their teachers and acting stupid in the halls. But
what grade is he in?
He's a freshman.
So he's in is that ninth grade now?
Yes.
All right.
And senior. And I, obviously, you know, we've been conflicted with it just based on our friends and family.
Yeah.
And it doesn't really cause a lot of problems with us.
All right. How long's he been your boyfriend?
It's about 8 months.
That's worked. Good relationship?
Very good. Wonderful.
And you said it's no problem with your families?
No, it does have. We do have problems with our families. And that's just. On the outside, you know, with us, we're okay, but...
What are the problems with the family?
Mostly his mom and then my dad. It's kind of awkward, and it's causing that real, you know, tension, and it's causing problems, you know, just like how to deal with it and stuff, and...
Well,
wait,
are you having sex with him?
No.
Jeez, I would think your dad would be very happy with this.
Yeah.
Right.
You got some guy with no pubes and essentially half a penis. Your daughter.
Empty chambers.
Right. This guy's watching Spongehead and Mr. Bob What the hell is that show, Drew, you love so much?
SpongeBob SquarePants.
SpongeBob SquarePants. And instead of, you know, what do you want? Some 24-year-old guy in a primered El Camino pulling up, smoking a pack of butts and, you know, yelling at pops.
I do find it peculiar that you would date someone that much younger than you, though, Athena. I mean, you're going to be going off to college, right?
No.
Pretty soon, about a year.
Yeah, you're going to be a child of college.
What's up?
Better get with it here. And
yeah. Well, she's dating her first patient.
Yeah.
And listen, you sound like here's the reality, Athena.
Mm-hmm.
You're not having sex, so it ain't that big a deal. You're a religious person, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
You met the guy at church.
Right.
You're doing okay in your studies and stuff. You're a little bit old fashioned and slightly retarded. And I don't mean retarded in the retard way.
Delayed.
Oh, okay.
A little delayed. You're maybe a little younger than younger emotionally than some of your 18-year-old peers. He may be a very old soul at 14. I give this thing my blessing.
Yeah, it's going to be a little weird when she's going off to college and sort of is in a different phase of her life and all, but
Yeah, I know how it is. She's graduating. He's trying to get his learner's permit. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I've been there. All right, we're going to take ourselves a break. Drew, who are we going to talk to when we come back?
None of these are promotable. That's why I don't put a little slip over there for you.
Oh, I see, Drew.
We're waiting to see what comes up.
You're so above
all right,
approach.
Here we go.
I've never brought
here
anything
we go.
Up to you.
Here you go. We're going to find Lewis.
No, listen. I don't care if they're not worth promoting, but don't think that I'm supposed to read that because you didn't put the little sticker
all
next
right.
to the call.
We need a new code.
All right, we're going to take a break, and we'll be back with a real jewel after this. Hey, everybody. Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. It's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. We're going to speak to Eddie, who's 28. Eddie?
Yes.
What's up?
It seems that lately I'm just really into, like, hardcore porn.
Mm-hmm.
And, recently I've been on the internet, and, you know, like, on the internet there's all these porn sites.
Eddie's freaking me out.
Yeah? Why? Why is he freaking you out?
Go ahead.
There's porn on the internet. Yes, I'm writing.
Right. And, it's like, you go to these sites and there's a lot of hardcore stuff that you don't even, like, you normally wouldn't even think of.
Right.
And, like, you know, hardcore stuff. And I've...
Hold on. Let me write that down. What do you say,
this
hardcore?
This conversation can serve no purpose anymore.
Right.
On the porn, on the internet, hardcore porn.
All right. Keep going there, Eddie.
And, you get a lot of callers that, it's just like a phase.
Well, not at 28.
No, getting into that in earnest is a commitment.
I just feel kind of like, I mean, I just want to get rid of the whole thing, you know?
Well, stop looking it up.
There is a such a thing as internet porn addiction.
Which is really just sort of porn addiction that's convenient.
I actually have some book references in my car, believe it or not. If you keep listening about another... Till the next break, I'll go out and get those books and read the titles for you and the authors. Really, that's really thought. It's a distressing form of addiction. It's so available. It's a form of sexual compulsivity, and it's so
difficult to stop. It's like having a porn store on your desk.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there a number to call?
Let me get you the numbers of these books, the names of these books, and about just listen to the show. 10 more minutes, I'll get those titles for you.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't. You know what? Believe it or not, I don't know how to work a computer. Although I did recently get on the internet.
Yeah,
and still have not looked up any porn.
But he's really a true addict. I mean, he's distressed by it. It's preoccupying him. It's distracting him from normal activities. He can't stop. He's disturbed about it.
Right. All right.
It needs to be treated.
Drew, I'll give you a number. James.
Yeah.
You're 18.
I am.
What's up?
I'm wondering what bilirubin is in a urine test. I had a physical done last week, and they told me that I had too much bilirubin in my basically.
It's a sandwich, isn't it?
Yeah, the bilirubin in your.
They didn't tell me what it meant
it's a folk song in Utah.
I had to come back in a week and try to take the test again.
Yeah, it's usually nothing in the urine. It's actually called urobilinogen in the urine. Bilirubin is a breakdown product of hemoglobin metabolism. When your red cells die, they, you know, hemoglobin is what carries the oxygen that makes the red cells red. Your red cells are just packed with hemoglobin. They break down. They also are the main sort of a prominent chemical in bile. When you bile backs up, it's the bilirubin that makes your eyes turn yellow. That's direct bilirubin. There's an indirect bilirubin, which is more a byproduct of hemoglobin metabolism directly.
All right, so...
And it, you know, it might be a sign of liver disease, might not, might be something you need to look into. There are hemolytic syndromes that show up in the urine where your blood will sort of start exploding for immune reactions.
But if you see bilirubin in one's blood test, or urine test it was,
mm-hmm.
How much blood byproduct gets into the urine?
Essentially none, normally.
So the fact that you have any blood-borne stuff in your urine, isn't that?
Yeah, that's why. But
cause
it's
alarm?
But it's probably a lab error. It's probably nothing.
Yeah.
But, you know, there are autoimmune hemolytic anemias, they're called.
So what are they going to do? Recheck it?
And then check for hemolytic anemias after that. Check for hematologic problems.
Good times. Lewis?
Hello?
You're 18.
Yeah.
What's up?
Well, basically, I want to know what I can do, you know? To, like, stay away from trouble, because right now I've got this anger towards Islamic people.
Right.
Because you know what's going on. So basically what I want to know is what I can do.
Right.
So I can stay away from, like, you know, hurting somebody, you know?
Are you already that way, where you sort of have a lot of...
I mean, basically just looking at the people fall from the buildings and stuff like that, that really, like, pissed me off, you know?
But before you went through all this, were you angry and did you act out?
No, not at all.
Not at all?
Nah. I was like normal, you know.
All right, so you're fired up.
Yeah, like right now, I just want to go out there, you know.
Oh, you're 18. Why don't you join the services?
I was going to say, why not?
I'm thinking about that, but I mean.
Well, wait a minute. Yeah, I mean, I know why. When you can kick some innocent ass stateside, yeah. Should you go serve your country?
I mean, why would you want to take it out on fellow citizens who are as vulnerable as you are, and who are as upset as you are?
Let's see. There's so many reasons, you know. First of all, we don't know if this guy really did this.
Hey.
Bin Laden.
Lewis, but why would you take that anger out on fellow citizens who are as vulnerable and as upset as you are?
I don't know, because basically that's who they're blaming. They're using them like a scapegoat or stuff.
Lewis, they're blaming someone who lives in another country.
I know, but I mean...
Not Americans.
I know.
And you want to take it out on Americans.
Yeah, but what I'm calling for is to find out what I can do, you know, to help in another way.
Oh, all right. Well, A, you're 18. You're not heading for Princeton next year, are you?
Nah.
Shocking. Ooh. Shocking.
Not unless his bong comes with him. I hear that laugh.
That bong. Lewis, seriously, why don't you join the services?
I'll do that.
Well, I mean, let's break it down. As you know, I make fun of the services. It's above high school. No, it's a little below. It's below college, but it's above junior college. It really is. Now, here's the deal, Lewis. You're not going anywhere. You're not doing anything, right?
Nah.
I mean, do you have some rich uncle who owns some furniture store you can work at?
Nah, not at all.
No, and you're not going to a 4-year university. Did you already graduate high school?
No, I'm still in high school. Huh?
You're 18.
I just turned 18. It's like this 18 service thing, which if you're 18 already and you're enrolled, you can't get out.
Okay. Here's my point. Why don't you look into, like, ROTC?
Yeah, I was going to say, you can still begin training and focusing and planning for something where you can make a difference.
Let me tell you something, too, for anyone who plans on being a loser. Join the service. No, here's why.
There is no racial bigotry here.
Yeah, you ought to play the end of that that one. That's good.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
No, I'm talking about the end of his racial bigotry line in Full Metal Jacket, because he goes into the Wops and the Spicks.
Huh?
Yeah, it's a great movie. Now, listen.
I got that movie on Saturday.
Lewis, listen to me.
What?
You go into the Army, you sit around and do nothing for about 4 years, and you got medical and dental for the rest of your life. Plus, you got all these GI bills and all these low interest loans, and it's really a loser's paradise. They'll take care of you. If the wheels come off the wagon and life doesn't go the way you think it should, these people will take care of you your whole life. I have friends that have done this.
All right, so
look into, like, ROTC and stuff, and then look into giving blood and donating money to the families and raising all that stuff.
You know, check your local fire department. They have all kinds of things that they're suggesting now.
Oh, really?
Yeah, they all have little...
Okay, listen. Here's the point. Everyone has a lot of energy.
I went down to the Rose Bowl and gave to a Pasadena Fire Department, created a fund.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, they were collecting down there and went and did it.
Yeah, everybody has energy.
Yeah.
And the energy comes from sitting and watching way too much TV and seeing these very violent, shocking images. And there's a lot of energy and a lot of anger involved with that. So you have this extra energy. You could go down to the gas station and chuck a rock through the window at the Islamic guy who's working behind the cash register, which, by the way, I don't condone now, but a few weeks ago, I really wanted to do that. Because you guys are all a-holes at these gas stations. Jesus Christ. Drop the attitude. Anyway, or you could channel this into raising money for the victims' families and giving blood and doing all the right things.
Yeah.
Put the energy into doing the right thing. You will feel much better, and it'll be a nice release for your energy. Brian?
Yeah?
You're 14?
Yes, I am.
What's up?
Well, at school, my friends... We had a hangout, and one day we were playing hacky sack, and this group of freshmen came by, and they asked if they could play, and we didn't want to make their lives, like, miserable or whatever. They're freshmen. They want friends and stuff. So we let them play, right?
What are you? Are you a freshman?
No, I'm a sophomore.
Oh, okay.
And we've had this spot for, like, generations upon generations. And
your hacky sack spot?
Yeah.
Generations. Your fathers and grandfathers all played hacky sack there.
Seniors would adopt the freshmen every year and keep the tradition alive.
To play hacky sack.
Well, that's just our sport, our class's sport.
Right. Oh, you're calling from Petaluma?
Yes, I am.
Oh, that is the Hesher capital of the world. Only in the Hesher capital of the world, Petaluma, could hacky sack. Is one of the major sporting activities.
Well, it's a defining cultural event. They have a arena which gets passed on in ritualistic fashion.
Oh, my God, yes.
Generations.
Yes, the handing of the ceremonial pewter bong from one underclassman to another is a beautiful and rich ceremony, Drew.
And that's the funny thing is because we play hacky sack, but we're not stoners or anything.
Yeah, but your community is nothing but stoners.
But remember that generational sort of, you must keep up the cause of the generations.
Okay.
You just haven't really stepped up yet.
So you're playing hacky sack.
Right.
And you let this guy play.
Well, this group of freshmen, they just came by. And we let them play. And it ends up that they keep coming back. And they're like mad stoners and stuff, right?
Shocking.
Huh?
Shocking.
I thought you just...
Mad stoners in Petaluma?
Yeah, really.
Oh, man.
Well, anyway, we want to keep the group kind of to ourselves.
Yeah, okay. And... Well, tell the stoners to leave you alone.
Well, I want to, but I want to know how to do it in kind of a polite way. I don't want to be
I mad. See. Well, listen, how big a space do you need for this hacky sack? 8 feet by 8 feet?
Well, we have an area. If they... There's other people like 20 feet away from us, and we can just hang out over there, but they like hanging around us.
Well, I'll tell you what, Brian. Here's what you need to do.
Okay.
You need to convene, have a little powwow with the original Hacksackians who had played there before these new Heshers came onto your turf.
Yeah.
And talk to these guys, how many, I don't know, 8, 10, 12 guys, how many guys show up there for the regular game, and talk to these guys and come up with a plan, because you all need to be on the same page.
Right.
You can't hatch your own plan and have guys not going along with you. There's nothing worse than that infighting that goes on. You need to talk to your fellow Hacksackians and say, look, are we going to find a new spot? Are we going to tell these guys to piss off? What are we going to do? Whatever it is, get on the same page and do it.
But he wants to try to communicate with them on the side, just say, hey, guys, you know.
I know, but you can't pull a guy aside and go, hey, guys, it'd be cool if you got 11 other guys yelling,
but,
Mark it back here, dude, we're playing.
But if there's one of them that you feel sort of civil with, bring them aside and say, hey, this is a...
Talk to their leader.
This is a group of friends. We get together every morning. It's a ritual we like to keep to ourselves. Sorry. All right.
Do you think Hacky Sack could thrive in any other environment other than the Stone Age of Petaluma? Really, Drew, seriously.
I thought it went out a long time ago. Let's take a break. I'll get those books for Eddie.
All right, on Internet Addiction?
Yeah.
All right, we'll take a break. We'll be back.
1-800-LOVE-191. We'll be right back.
It's Loveline. I'm Adam Carolla. That is Dr. Drew over there.
Well, guess what? I don't have the specific reference for the internet addiction. There is an author by the name of Weiss, W-E-I-S, who wrote a book on internet addiction. And in terms of sexual addiction, in which you can sort of get some references on internet addiction per se. Let me get you one good one here. Out of the Shadows, Understanding Sexual Addictions by Patrick Carnes, C-A-R-N-E-S.
What's that about?
That's
a book?
Yeah.
You buy it on the internet, ironically?
Sure.
You know, when he boots up that internet, though, he's going right to the
I know.
Right to the anal.
Following. I understand.
Okay. Drew, I want to tell you about my grandmother.
Oh, on the air. Fine.
Her,
I'm ready.
Her DVD.
Yeah.
I went and visited my 87-year-old grandmother today. She's not getting around as good as she used to, but she's got plenty of feist in her. And, you know, she's a member of the Academy. Actually, my grandfather was. He gets a vote on the Academy Awards, and he's passed away 4 or 5 years ago, but she still keeps the membership going, so she gets all the freebie movies.
Does she get to vote, too?
Yeah.
Oh,
she does vote.
God.
Well, you know, they send you the movies, and then you get to vote. And here's the deal. My grandmother starts getting these movies. She'll get all these movies not only before they go to DVD or go to the video store, but she'll get these movies sometimes before they get to the theater. Be some big Tom Cruise blockbuster. It'll be out in theaters and, you know, coming up this week, and she'll have it on her shelf.
Right, right.
And there's something golden about that. I don't know why these movies turn to S the second you can see them, but there's something very alluring about having a movie that other people can't see.
Yeah, you're the first one. You've seen the whole thing, not just the trailer.
Right. So I told my grandma today, she said, you know, this year there's a DVD box. You can check that. They can send them to you in DVD. I said, oh, grandma, check that box. Because these DVDs, they got the digital sound, they got the digital audio. You can do 150 movies in the space it would take up on the shelf of, you know, 20 of those video cassettes. And it's just better all the way around. She said, yeah, I don't know. I don't have a DVD player. I said, I'll buy you a DVD player.
Uh-huh.
And not only, you know, is it better, but and I didn't want to get morbid. But I said, as far as your legacy, when you leave somebody this big stash of films, it'd be nice if it was in DVD. Because that's going to be the technology of the future. It's pretty antiquated, the VCR, the VHS cassette already. So be nice. You have it in DVD. Save some space. Have some clarity. Don't have to rewind. I'll buy a DVD player. No. No. Not going to do that. All right.
You know why.
Maybe because it was my idea.
Your idea.
I don't know. You know what she said?
You mentioned taking them when she's gone.
She said, a lot of my friends don't have DVD players. I said, good. Keep that leech Jules Mandel from coming over here and bogarting every one of these goddamn things. Big old Jules Mandel comes clopping down the street. He takes 5 movies. He goes back to Encino. Doesn't come back for a month.
There's that. And then what she's also telling is they're the recipients of the films when she goes.
Oh, whatever it was. It was. It really was just another. I felt like screaming, this is why I'm a winner. This is why I'm not. I'm going to change my name to Schmeckelberg.
From Corolla.
Corollas. They're all losers. Losers. Jeremy, you're 23. Hey, what's up?
Hey, long-time listener. You guys are really great.
Thanks.
You guys are entertaining. I wanted to call in reference to Lewis, and you suggested he join the military.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say, in high school, I was going nowhere, and I definitely wasn't going to college, and I joined the Navy. And, man, it has been the best thing I've ever done in my life.
Really? Good.
Good.
I've been about 5 years, and I'm E5, and just moving up real quick and having a great time. Got a real good job. And
Are you still with the Navy?
Yes, I'm on my second enlistment now.
Does the current world situation trouble you?
Well, it looks like I might be pulled off shore duty and sent back to the ship, but I welcome that.
What ship you on? A laundry ship?
No, I used to be on a destroyer.
Wow.
Ah, that's nice. That's destroyers. It's got the word destroy right in the title. That's what I like about it.
Absolutely.
And what would you do on that destroyer?
I'm a cryptologist.
Uh-huh. You read bumps on the captain's head? No, you decipher messages?
Yeah, I break code, things like that.
Nice. Wow. So you're right in the mind center of the ship, right? I mean, you're in the middle somewhere.
Where are you down? Actually, we're kind of off to the side because we used to do our own little thing. You know, we kept the ship informed what was going on, and we did a thing.
Is that going to be a big part of what's coming for you guys?
I really can't say, but probably not.
You may be shipping out soon.
Yeah.
All right. Hey, does that destroyer? So will you go back on the destroyer?
I'm not sure. It depends on where they want me to go. But I'm an instructor now in San Diego. But it depends on where they want me to go. Where they can utilize me the best.
Did that destroyer have the phalanx system?
The phalanx?
Yeah.
Yeah, the Sea Whiz.
Yeah, the machine gun, the Gatling gun.
The Gatling gun, huh?
Oh, yeah. That is my. How great is that thing?
That thing is awesome. I got to fire it, actually.
Oh, you did?
Yeah, I got to load it and push the button, and I got the shells from it and everything. It's great.
That thing is awesome. I mean, how many rounds a second or minute does that thing spit out?
3,500 rounds a minute.
3,500 rounds a minute of spent uranium, right?
Depleted uranium.
Well, that's the same thing.
Yeah.
Thank you. I mean, that thing would just shred. That thing would, like, shred a school bus in just seconds. 3,500 rounds a minute.
Why does it need the uranium? What does that do?
It's depleted uranium because it's, like, it's one of dense, the hardest substances known to man. It theoretically doesn't have any, you know, uranium in it.
Right.
Or it doesn't, you know, have any...
radioactivity.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All right. So, anyway, everyone, join up. Join the Navy. Listen, all you losers, join the service. Absolutely. Because let me tell you what the next 4 years are going to be like for you guys who aren't going off to college. You're going to think about taking a few classes at the junior college. You're going to take a couple classes at the junior college. You're going to fail out of those because you're a bad student. Remember, that's why you're going to the junior college. You're a poor student. Otherwise, you'd be going to a real college. You'll fail out of those. You'll probably pick up some herpetic lesion on your penis or something that some co-core girlfriend of yours is going to give you. You'll kick in and out of jobs a little. You'll train as like an ambulance driver for 3 weeks, and then they'll find pot in your system and screw that up. Everything. The next 4 years, from 18 to 22, you're not doing ass. It's not like you're going to have a degree and a career at the end of that. You'll have nothing. Do this. You get a dental plan and maybe get to go over there and, you know,
now remember,
hand out a little payback.
Ambulance driver is not a term you can use anymore.
That's right. EMT.
Yeah.
EMS.
Allison. Allison?
Hello.
Hey, what's going on?
Hi.
Hey.
What?
What's up?
Well, nothing. I used to work at a dating service, and I know you guys sat there and told some guy that he should go to a professional service.
Yeah, I have several friends that do that with great success. I have two that are married because of it.
Well, you know, I used to work at one. Actually, I used to work at two.
Mm-hmm.
And most of the time, this is what I found. The guys were really desperate. They could never get dates. They couldn't get dates in high school, much less any other time. And the women were really picky.
Okay.
Period. Occasionally, there were some good guys, and occasionally there were some dumpy guys, but for the most part, it was like a joke.
But here, it is, and I agree with you, but it at least gets you in the game.
Yeah, but for the cost of $3,000?
Well, I know
come
that...
Come on.
Okay, listen, I'm not a huge fan of these things either, but when it's a choice between that and nothing... And you got a guy who doesn't have a job where there's any women around, and he has difficulty in social situations. I do it. Also, you know where you can score? I have a few guys I know do this, that Jew date, the J date.
What's that?
Jewish dating thing.
What's that?
It's like a whole network of Jewish dating stuff going on.
Matchmaker.
Yeah, and here's the point, yeah, from Fiddler on the Roof.
Yeah.
Here's the point. I don't think they need to see any Jew credentials, Drew. What do they call those, Judentials? But the point is you can just say you're Jewish and join in. Get yourself a nice Jewish chick. Big ass, but, you know, smart. Right, all the stereotypes, right, Drew?
Oh, her parents are going to freak.
Then
the
when they find out.
Then the credentials need to be produced.
Here's, well, look, if you guys have a kid, it's going to take on, according to the faith, the religion of the mom anyway. So you're fine. I'm telling you, that J-date thing, I got a friend, he goes on 8 dates a week.
Who?
Absolutely. Mitch from The Man Show.
Oh.
He does it. He does. We always make fun of him. But it does. You post your little bio thing, how old you are, what you like.
Thing?
Yeah, it's internet thing. Okay. And they just keep sending them your way. It's just about numbers. It's turnover. By the way, turnover, Drew. I wasn't saying turnover. I was actually telling you to turn over. I'm horny now. Okay. Right, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Love line. I'm Adam. That's Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. Let's get back to the bread and butter of the show and speak to Sarah, who's 15. Sarah?
Hi. I don't know what to do. Recently, I just ran away because I didn't want to deal with my mom's stuff no more. Like, I'm tired of her abusing me.
Physically abusing you?
Yeah, physically, mentally, both.
Yeah, I mean, kids only run away from home, really run away when they're being abused. And, I don't know. You know, I don't know of any stories where running away turns out better.
Yeah, and now she's calling all my friends and, like, saying that she's going to call the cops on them to figure out where I am. And, like...
What about going to Child Protective Services?
I don't know. I don't know. I freeze up when I do that.
You've done it before.
What kind of stuff was your mom doing to you?
Like, if I wouldn't listen to her when she first called me, she would slap me.
Yeah, it's not right.
Or she would, like, shove food in my face.
Mexican or Italian?
Mexican.
I knew it was one.
She's half Samoan and half Hawaiian, but she was raised as a Mexican.
No! That's like a part pit bull, but raised as a Rottweiler.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not only feisty, but with big calves to back it up, too. Yeah, that's tough.
I've got a hotline number for you. You want that number?
Yeah, please.
You got a pen?
Yeah.
800.
Huh? 800. 800?
422.
It's one of those 800 numbers?
Uh-huh.
422-4453.
53?
Yeah, 422.
And what is this?
It's just a helpline for people, young people, including these kinds of services.
Hey, do you have a dad?
Yeah, but he's currently, like, not, like, able to help me.
Where is he?
He is, like, trying to get on his own. Like, he was, like...
Trying to get away from his parents?
He's thinking about moving out. Yeah, he's trying to do what?
He's like, trying to get back on his feet. He just lost his job. And okay. So now he can't really take care of anybody. He's barely taking care of himself.
Yeah, he lives at home with your mom?
Yeah.
Can't he sort of step up and say... Hey, you'll not abuse my daughter?
It's kind of like my mom wears the pants and he wears a skirt.
I see. Mm. Can both people wear pants, by the way, or does one automatically have to put the skirt on?
But you know, they end up peeing on each other and stuff. You know guys are.
Yeah, so you mean if the wife wears the pants in the family, you can't wear pants too?
You can, but it's a hassle.
You have to wear... What if you compromise, like a gaucho?
Like capri?
Yeah, capri type pant. With a smart espadrille sandal. All right, hey, Sarah. Call that number and talk to those good folks. And they deal with a lot of this.
Get going home and call Child Protective Services. Let them know what's happening. Because the best thing that can happen is you go home and your home gets some help. You don't have to be abused. Of course, when kids are abused, they run away. Of course.
Yeah. Well, why wouldn't you? Everyone runs away when they're abused. Yeah. You get out of whatever that space you're in that's... The abuse space. Yeah. Cameron?
Yeah.
You're 20?
Yep.
You're into coke?
Yeah.
How much for a gram?
It's about $30 for a gram. You can get it for $25 if you know the guy, but it's about $30 for a gram.
Oh, my God. How is the coke for $25 a gram?
The guy goes through. It's pretty good.
Pretty good.
Pretty good stuff.
$25 a gram? Jesus, that's cheap. I mean, it adds up, but, you know, it used to be like $125 back when me and Drew were doing it.
Really?
Yeah, we were knee-deep in the nose candy. It was 100, you know, disco, 80s. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Price Miami price. Vice, sure. All right, so anyway, you want to stop doing it?
Yeah, well, I've been doing it about a year and a half. I've been sober now for 6 months. One of the problems is I kind of replaced the cocaine addiction with heavy, heavy drinking.
Okay, well, that's not sober. That's just switching to something else.
Off the coke.
No, just switching. It's all the same. Yeah. You know, that's what happens. Once a powerfully addictive drug sort of charges up your chemistry to a certain level of reward need, you can switch to any of a number of drugs, but you'll have to use a lot of them.
Yeah.
You can use benzodiazepines, you can use pot, you can use alcohol. It's all the same.
I was kind of wondering, I heard you talking to the guy earlier, you mentioned some of the, like, bipolar disorders and stuff like that resulting from...
Well, yeah, you get a lot of panic attacks and anxiety, and moods can be all over the place.
Okay.
But you're drinking right now, so you're in the middle of alcoholism, so you're all bets are off.
Oh, yeah. So...
All right.
Did I not make a good decision in trading? I just need to quit all of it? Or?
No, you didn't make any decision. You just moved on with your disease.
Yeah.
And if you want to do something about it, go. You're welcome to if you're ready.
How much drinking do you do?
Well, I've cut back on that. I mainly do it on the weekends. I have a couple beers when I get home from work at night. But on the weekends, I usually, you know, go out party or party here. When I'm partying here, I usually put away about a case a night or so.
Case of beer, huh?
Yeah.
Wow.
Over a period of, you know, like, that was
solid.
When did the term...
AA. Go to AA.
When party, that term become, just get wasted? There was some mystery to party in the 70s. It could have meant just hanging out, having a decent time. Now if somebody says party, that means, I'm getting wasted.
Right.
Right?
Yeah, it used to be like Lionel Richie would be singing about partying and party people and all that kind of stuff.
Dancing meets socializing, maybe intoxicating, but not necessarily. Not, you know, categorically, that's what's going on.
It's a nice euphemism for getting effed up. Yeah.
Yeah, and it used to have a little mystery attached to it.
I think partying became getting effed up when hooking up became sodomy.
It's precisely the same kind of a term, because hooking up is like, well... We could have just sat and talked, or it could have been full-scale anal sex.
But, yeah, I think it's a way to soften the blow, pardon the pun. I mean, when you go, yeah, we partied pretty good, and then we hooked up. It was like, we did a bunch of blow, and then...
Slammed heroin,
and then I pulled the train with him and his buddies. I mean, that's really what partying and hooking up has
become,
Drew.
That's certainly in the range of possible experiences under those terms.
Good times. Julia?
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you're 18. What's up?
Nothing.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, okay. How was it? Oh, yeah, okay. I had unprotected sex last week.
Mm-hmm.
And I hadn't had sex probably like 5 months or so. Well, it was the only guy I've ever been with, and it was an ex and all that stuff, but whatever. I was scheduled to go to the gynecologist on Friday because it's been a year. Since my last
good
visit.
Okay,
right,
but I forgot that I'm supposed to be starting my period, and I got home from work today and I went to the bathroom and I was like, oh damn, I started, I forgot.
Well, you can still
but
go after something like this.
Do you have to tip them out a little more?
But it's just, not like regular, it's thick and brown.
Thick and what?
Brown.
Well, hold on, I'm gonna heave.
Anything
thick
else
and brown.
Anything else going on? any pelvic pain, anything like that?
No, nothing's wrong. I'm just kind of freaking out because I'm really paranoid about diseases, but
well,
I don't know why.
True, is it considered poor etiquette to go to your gynecologist when you're on your period?
Yeah sometimes.
You don't
do
that?
If you're worried about an STD, you go when you go. It's not that big a deal.
Bad times.
Yeah. I don't know. If it's not a big deal, I just want to know. But
it's hard to, when you're having regular your screening, you know, your yearly exam, you can't really inspect things the way you'd like to because it's all covered.
Right.
Stuff in there.
Well, but you get in there with a little...
No, it's hard to swab it out.
A little compressed air.
No.
Really just blow it out of there?
You'd have to have like a
how about those high-pressure nozzles that they use to clean the sidewalk in front of the supermarket?
No, you still wouldn't be able to put that in and visualize things. So we need those things that dentists have that squirt and suck, that vacuum.
Well, the suck thing, they just hook on you.
And then they squirt.
Right. Yeah. Except for they make sure and ice the water down before it hits your very sensitive teeth. That's part of the diabolical dentist program. So, Julia.
Yeah.
I don't know. Drew, what's up?
I don't make anything of that, Julia, but I'm glad you're due to see the gynecologist.
Well, yeah, because I freak out, especially because he's not a very clean person. Well, I don't know. I'm just suspicious that he's not very clean.
I don't make anything. If you got pelvic pain, if you got pelvic pain, discharge, pain with urination, fevers, go be seen right away.
Wait, who's not a clean person? Your boyfriend?
Not a boyfriend. The hookup.
Ex.
Oh, the hookup. Oh, you guys party and then hooked up?
No. No.
Okay.
Nothing like that. I don't know. I get scared. And I was already going to go, but I just...
All right. Well, listen, If you're a paranoid person, don't hook up with filthy people.
I know. It's because, I don't know, there's a whole history between me and him. I don't know, whatever, I was stupid, but...
All right.
But there's nothing too much unless I have pain with urination and whatnot.
Yeah. Pain urination, discharge, true. Pelvic pain, fever.
Right. So the you know, the thick brown bloody period does not mean that there's any kind of problem.
Not necessarily.
I mean, venereal wise.
No, doesn't necessarily mean anything.
All right, Robert.
Yeah.
You're 32.
Yeah.
What's up?
I was listening to the station a while ago, and I was hearing that boy talk about hanky sack. We was just trying to figure out what that was.
Oh, really? You know this sounds like, Drew? Remember Andy Griffith used to do those, like, spoken word things in the 50s and 60s?
Yes, it was comedy.
Yeah, it was comedy. He would explain what football was.
Right.
And stuff like that.
These boys, they go out on the field.
And they got themselves a skin, a pig skin, filled with air. And this one fella, he tosses it to the other fella.
He throws it, and now they commence a fight and a scratching.
How the hell do you know that, Drew? You're not supposed to know anything I know or comment about on the air. That's what Robert sounds like with the hacky sack. Robert?
Yeah.
Yeah, so you want to know what the hacky sack is?
Yeah.
Okay, here's the thing. Hacky sack, here's what I want to say. You're calling from where, like North Carolina?
No, I'm in Ontario, California right now, but I drive a truck and I'm from North Carolina.
Okay. Hacky sack is what the guys you hang out with would play instead of horseshoes if you swapped moonshine for weed. You understand?
And swapped sunshine for, like, thunderstorm.
Moonshine?
Yeah. The desert. You need the heat to bake the brain properly.
Right. Now, it's what guys who smoke a lot of weed do.
And live in the Southwest.
It's considered an exercise regimen or sports team for guys who smoke a lot of weed.
It's a little ball filled with, like, beads. Seeds.
Yeah, it's not quite sand, but
beans.
It's like a little bean bag.
Yeah, and they kick it around. They keep it in the air, by kicking around like a soccer ball, kind of.
Yeah, I would say that it's a little smaller than a tennis ball. And it's
a
not
bigger
really
than a golf ball.
Not really round. It's kind of it's got
octagonal
sides to it.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah. And stone guys, it's made of leather. It's really something that it's a sport that could be thousands of years old if they smoked weed thousands of years ago. You there, Robert? No,
he's too much.
An ass full of us. But I think it really is. I think it really is the equivalent of horseshoes for guys who smoke weed and don't drink. And horseshoes is what drunk guys do. You see what I'm saying? You can't play hacky sack when you're drunk. You'll vomit. You ever try that?
No.
Jumping up and down, kicking like a retard. Whatever's in you, like that 12-pack you just put down, is coming back up. All right. Interesting. They don't know what hacky sack is, but I think it's a West Coast thing.
It's a West, Southwest, yeah.
Now, so what you do is then you throw this sack up, this little bean bag.
Not really Southwest, because Northern California got a lot of it too.
Shut up. And you kick it back and forth, basically with the inside of your ankle, right?
Yep.
Is that the attempt? Mm. And you kick it back and forth to other guys that are equally stoned. And usually the game breaks up when a Birkenstock flies off a foot and takes a guy's
eye.
Takes a guy's eye out, or even worse, right when he's taking a draw off a joint, that thing smacks him right in the face. That's usually how it ends. And really, the Hesher sport, though, you want to know what the true Hesher sport is? Ultimate Frisbee.
Mm.
That's for the motivated Hesher. That's football with a Frisbee. Mm. Anything with a Frisbee. That's for the Heshers that have a little more energy. Josh?
Yeah, hello?
You're 18?
Yes.
What's up?
I just want some advice about this sort of, like, it's a relationship. Okay, all right. I'm kind of nervous, I'm sorry. Okay.
All right.
There's this girl, and I met her, you know what Yahoo Chat is, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, all right, I met her off chat, okay? And then, like, all right, she gave me her phone number, and we talked for a long time. Went on for, like, a couple weeks, and things got really intense. And then, okay, then she came over a few times, she spent the night. And then, like, for some reason, I got really, like, I'm kind of emotional, so I got emotional, and I guess she kind of backed off or something. And she sort of calls me, and we still connect like we did before, sort of. And she just called me yesterday, and I just want to know: do you think she likes me, or
why no? Would she, why no, would, no.
What?
What? Stupid, I'm sorry.
Yeah, hey, Josh.
Yeah.
Now, when you got a little emotional with her,
yeah,
she backed down. Like, maybe you freaked her out a little bit.
Well, she didn't want to... She said she didn't want me to be... Well, she had really... We both have, like, issues. Like, pretty big, like, major issues, sort of.
All right, but yes or no? When you got a little emotional, did she back off?
Yeah, she told me that she didn't want...
Yes. The word's yes, right?
Yes.
Okay. And since she backed off, she cooled off a little bit, and you guys have renewed it a little bit. She called you.
She keeps checking in.
Last night.
She's checking in with you.
Mm-hmm.
So you didn't totally freak her out. There's some interest, mm-hmm, right? And what base did you get to with her?
I'm pretty nervous around girls.
Zero.
I didn't do anything. I could have, you know.
Yeah, sure. You could have.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you had enough duct tape.
And, why don't you just ask her out?
Quaaludes.
Ask her out to dinner. Take her out to dinner somewhere. Even if it's Taco Bell, take her out to dinner. And just see what happens. Just
don't take her out to Taco Bell, though.
You know what I mean? But the point is just get, you know, see if she wants to go spend some time alone.
You mean
with
ask her?
Yeah.
Like, yeah. All right.
Hey, Josh.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let me give you some real important advice.
All right.
Now, listen. And I want to give this to all the spazzy guys out there. I played basketball with Dr. Bruce today, by the way, so I got spaz weighing heavily on my mind. You think he's a spaz on this show, you got to see him on the court.
I've had anal sex and I passed out a couple times.
Bruce, please. What's going on inside of your mind is a crazy, like, flea circus where... There's a trapeze and a ringmaster and elephants, and it's crazy chaos going on in your mind, and you're nervous, and your heart's pounding, and your thoughts are racing. Your mind is racing, right?
Yeah, you're right.
Right. But the only way she's going to know about that is if you open your mouth and let all those crazy, neurotic, nervous thoughts fly out of your mouth in the form of speech. Do you understand?
Okay.
So you may be... crapping bricks, your mind may be going a mile a minute, but you don't have to freak her out. She doesn't necessarily know. Brevity. Do not speak so much.
Okay.
It's ironic that I'm telling someone not to talk too much.
No, because you don't want anyone else speaking besides you.
Right. I'm talking way too much about not talking right now. But just quiet down. All guys, do this. Drew, am I right?
Yeah, yeah. Brood some more.
Women love a guy who just does a little bit of brooding on a date and not freaking them out with that. Are you okay? What do you need? Are you right? I hope you like me because I like you. You know, you will be nervous and you'll talk yourself right out of this date. You understand, Josh?
Yeah.
Women are looking for what's called emotionally significant conversation.
Right.
That's what they want.
Now, don't overthink it. Just here. I'm going to give you... a maximum of 23 syllables every 10 minutes. Does that work, Drew?
Sure.
Just ask her out, and don't get into this stuff like, I thought we'd want to go here, but I don't know if you like Thai food, but I like Thai food, and I like that. Don't get into all that, okay?
Good time, Josh.
Just ask her out and be very calm about it.
All right, one small thing I like that.
All right, and the more nervous you are, the less you should talk.
Yeah. Ironically, he launched immediately into some more talking as soon as you gave him the big lecture. Lance, 23. Lance?
Yes.
Hey, what's going on there?
Hey there. How you guys doing?
Good.
I'm calling about the guy you had on talking about his internet porn addiction.
Right.
And I'm a minister, and I've worked with a lot of people who are dealing with that. It seems to be the big issue nowadays.
Right.
And I've got a couple tips that we usually give people who are... This isn't really for people who are, you know, this is a symptom of something bigger for them, but people mm-hmm. have just stumbled onto this and are dealing with it. So I got a couple tips for
you. All right.
Number one, most effective thing I've found is accountability. Find another man that you can trust, you know, not your boss or, you know, not your wife or anything like that, but another man that you can confide in and, you know, be able to discuss this, and this person will be able to talk to you week by week and see how you're doing with this.
We call that a sponsor.
Yeah, in the church circles, I guess we just call it accountability.
Right, so you find a guy, and you know this guy's going to ask you, hey, did you get on the internet and look up any porn today? And you're going to have to truthfully answer him.
Well, I mean, the basic, you know, scientific structure for this is that to first realize you can't do it by yourself, you're powerless, and to realize that the way humans' emotional worlds change...
You can jack off by yourself, Drew. That's the whole point.
The way human emotional worlds change is by connecting with other people, and that an intimate connection with another person really allows you to start to dig into your feelings about this and to talk about your shame and guilt and those feelings that fuel this even more.
Lance, wouldn't you also suggest just beating yourself off before you even boot up the computer? I mean, wouldn't that erase all motivation?
Not everyone has
that
kind of discipline, Adam.
Oh, that's right. Well, I guess not.
Yeah. What's the other tip, Lance?
And another thing is moving the computer out of the back room or back office, putting in the family room, where your wife can walk in or your children will be around.
That's good.
A real addict will
try to squeeze one off while the wife and kids are in the kitchen.
Will expose the children, yeah.
No.
Yes, a true addict will.
All right, but a lot of these guys are not even family guys. They're just kind of, you know, living in their own bachelor pad and rolling in their own filth every night. What should they do then? Like, put it out on the curb?
I think in that situation, I mean, you're not getting quite the same consequences.
Right.
Usually when we're talking with people who are suffering with this, it's usually...
Now, what do you tell the wife when you decide to move the computer out of the den and into the family room?
Yeah, you better make up a good excuse, because wives are usually not all that...
Right.
I don't think they're really going to go for this sort of situation.
Right. Is that it? Is there one more?
One more, and this is more of a last-ditch sort of thing, and that's there's a lot of services that do password protection, that you know, they sort of censor off parts of the Internet, and a couple people, and this usually with... I was working at a Bible college where we had a lot of guys who were into this sort of thing, and just putting the password protection, getting somebody else to do the password, and just sort of reinforces the accountability where, you know, the only way you're going to be able to get into this is, you know, breaking down and, you know, telling the person who put the password in to help you out in that situation.
All right. But, you guys got a football team at the Bible college? Or
not the one I went to.
Oh, okay.
How come they don't have, do you have 12-step programs where you are?
Yeah, we have a number of things. I'm certified in this one program called the ACTS program, which is based on sort of an AA. It's more of like a religiously based AA program.
All right. Lance, I'm an atheist, so we're arch rivals, me and Lance, but I agree with all these things. And I know, Drew, this is not a substitute for a guy who's gone over the edge with this stuff.
Right.
But I also am a strong believer... in moderation.
Behavioral management.
Sure, thank you. And that not everyone who believes they're an addict is an addict, or maybe they're not there yet.
That's
and
right.
This is a way to head it off at the pass.
Every true addict goes through long periods in their life where they can control these things. But once that real switch has been thrown, though, they can no longer control it. And that's when they got to see me.
Well, Drew, is a guy, you personally or just anybody?
When my switch is thrown?
You like... Okay,
guys
let me,
like me.
Let me
guys
give you an
like
example.
Me.
You like food.
Right.
Right? And if you had a candy machine in your hallway...
Right.
You'd stop by it and grab a Snickers bar every time you walk past
it. No, that's absolutely true.
Would be a bad idea for you to put that in there.
That's right.
Right?
That's right.
All right. We're going to take a little break. When we come back, we'll speak to... Nobody, necessarily.
Here we go.
All right. You got one? We'll speak to Jessica. Her husband's returning from basic training. Wants to tell him she has a boyfriend.
Eesh.
This her husband?
Yeah.
Oh, that's it's bad times because it means he's shipping out, right? Mm. And she's shipping in a new sailor. All right, we'll take a break. We'll get back with Jessica after this.
Hello, this is your radio. Radio. Loveline will be right back.
Hey. Loveline, everybody. I'm Adam. That's Dr. Drew over there. Phone number 1-800-LOVE-191. When we left off, we were talking to Jessica, who's 19. Her husband's returning from basic training, and she found herself a boyfriend. Jessica?
Hi.
Hey. What is your husband in the Army?
Yeah.
And where you're calling from Utah.
I am.
Where's he with his basic training?
He is on his way back tonight from Fort Sill, Oklahoma.
Mm-hmm.
How long has he been there?
He's only been there a month. He's actually getting discharged. So.
Why?
Oh.
So.
Why?
Why are they discharging him?
I don't know. He said he wasn't going to tell me until he got home, so I don't know.
And you've been married how long?
About a year and a half.
Since you were like 17?
I was 18.
How old is he?
He is 21.
And how long has this affair been going on?
For about 6 months.
So it was going on for 5 months before he shipped out, or for Oklahoma.
Yeah.
And who's it with?
His best friend's brother.
You stinking whore!
Good times. And you're not worried about that getting right on back to him?
He knows.
He knows?
Well, he knew that we had been seeing each other, but he doesn't know that we're still seeing each other.
He now, did he catch you?
Yeah.
And then you swore up and down you weren't going to do it anymore?
Yeah.
And you're doing it. And do you guys have any kids?
Yeah, we have one.
Oh my God.
And you can't just put it in a bassinet and
send it down the Nile.
Throw it down the Nile.
Oh, no. Give it a chance. I don't want to.
No, you don't want to. Okay, so listen, you want to get a divorce, right?
I do.
Okay, that's fine.
He's abusive?
You know,
he is, and I'm not happy. And
Okay. And yeah, look, you made a mistake, right?
Yeah.
Okay, and are you in love with this new guy?
I don't know.
No,
I don't care about him. I don't.
This is just her bullpen.
Yeah.
Somebody to finish the game.
Why are you carrying on with this? Because you're insecure and you need attention?
She needs a reason to break up, too.
Right.
You know.
Yeah.
Jessica, get out of there.
Now, aren't you a little nervous that this guy's just been basically getting combat training for the last month, is coming back, and you're going to drop this bombshell on him?
I am.
And he's already abusive?
Yeah. I don't know how to go about doing that.
Well, when's he going to return?
I'm picking him up from the airport tomorrow.
Wow.
Oh, my God. That is going to be so uncomfortable.
Do not let this child witness anything go down.
Oh, no, I don't want to.
I know you don't want to. Don't let it happen.
I won't.
No.
Who's watching the kid while you pick him up from the airport?
His best friend's mother.
Okay. Listen, I'm gonna work out. I'm gonna get you on like a little 5-year plan. Okay, here.
Okay.
All right. First things first. This guy. You all right, baby?
Uh-huh.
Yeah. This guy who you've already described as abusive physically, who's been tossed out of the army for God knows what, is going to hear about you screwing around with his best friend's brother and may freak on you.
Yeah.
So I don't know if it's the world's greatest idea to pick him up from the airport and tell him about this.
Well, maybe be in a public place and talk about it.
Can you guys go to, like, the 50-yard line of the Rose Bowl during the UCLA-USC game?
Go to the Tabernacle. Go to the Tabernacle. They're in Salt Lake.
Yes.
Go into the church itself and then tell him.
Okay.
Do not have him on his 8th Bud Tallboy and then explain to him in the confines of your trailer that you've been blowing his buddy's brother. You understand? Okay. He may spin out and hurt himself, hurt you, and maybe hurt the child.
Uh-huh.
Now, the other thing is what are you going to do? Live with this guy for a while until you find a new place?
No, my husband, well, he's not staying here after. His name's not on the lease, and he knows that he's not staying here.
I really even question you picking him up from the airport. I mean, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Are you going to tell him when you pick him up?
I'd like to. I don't want to keep it from him.
Well, if he's not staying there, can you send him to wherever he's staying before you tell him?
Oh, yeah.
Where's he staying?
Provo.
All right, send him to Provo and then tell him, because he may spin out. And look, you, my dear, you cannot have a kid for another 8 years. Do you hear me, screwball?
I don't want one for another 8 years.
Yeah, but you got to work at it a little bit.
Oh.
You got to get on some birth control. Do you hear me?
I am.
Good. All right. And you don't. You spend 24 hours a day trying not to screw up this kid of yours, all right?
Yeah.
All right, good. All right, you made a mistake. Get out.
Okay.
Fine.
Right, Jessica.
Oh, man. I would kill myself if I was Jessica. Dustin, could you imagine?
Yeah, I'm here.
You're 23.
Right.
What's up?
Hey, I had a question about, I had a penis problem.
Okay, you come to the right place, my friend.
Come to the right place.
Well, hopefully, and Drew, Taco Bell thing.
Yeah.
Taking the girl out to Taco Bell. I mean, any place but Taco Bell. But anyway, getting back to my problem. I've had it for, gosh, maybe since I was about 16. It's sometimes when I pee, it's almost like gallstones. It hurts real bad. And they're almost like little rocks.
Yeah, maybe you're passing stones.
Is that all it is? Because, you know, I always wonder, I mean, I do drink.
sometimes. And
you need to get that checked out. I know whether they're kidney stones or bladder stones or prostate. I mean, they're all kinds of things.
Well, how do you know? Hold on. Have you ever fished any of them out of the drink?
No.
Well, how do you know?
What do you mean?
That they're stones.
Well, yeah. Actually, sometimes, like, if you squeeze the tip, you know, and you put a little on your finger, it comes out a little bit chalky sometimes. Hmm. Like, if you let it dry there.
A little sandy, but that wouldn't really be stones.
He's saying if you let it dry, it's sort of powdery.
What do you do? Just
right.
Yeah, but you're just taking...
You walk around with a damp of urine on your finger until the sun dries it?
Yeah, Dustin...
No, what you do is you put it in front of a fan.
I see.
Dustin, that's prostatic secretions. That's not urine then, because your prostate's putting stuff out that lubricates your urethra all the time, and that stuff can look a little powdery when it dries out.
Okay, so what should he do?
Nothing. Well, you go see someone about these stones. Find out whether or not you have stones or not, because it's important to know kidney stones can block your kidneys from draining and cause kidney failure.
All right, and he's see a urologist. Right?
Or a regular doctor can start this one out.
Okay, Sean.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, Sean, you're 24.
Yeah, I got a question for Drew concerning the difference in the effects of marijuana versus smoking tobacco.
Okay.
Versus, like, definitely in the carcinogenic area.
Definitely tobacco worse.
Well, is THC carcinogenic?
No, not per se.
Okay. What about any other effects that might be possible long-term, whatnot?
The main thing that pretty much everyone gets if you smoke pot long enough is chronic bronchitis. So you get kind of an emphysema-like syndrome.
Gee, that's lovely.
But whether or not it causes heart disease, it's thought it might, but it's not been proven. It does not appear to cause cancers.
Okay.
And the big effects are brain effects. That's what people are
concerned. How much weed do you smoke?
Not a whole lot. In any given week, probably between a gram and four, depending on who I'm with.
Hold on. I don't even know what a gram is. Isn't it an ounce?
About a nickel.
A nickel?
Yeah.
You smoke $5 worth of weed a week?
Yeah, about that sometimes.
Oh, that's nothing. But you're fine. You live to 100.
I also still wanted to make another comment about the whole hacky sack thing.
Right.
Not just limited to the Southwest. There are Heshers all over the country playing.
Oh, really?
It's
spread. Okay, you're in Illinois and it's spread out there, huh?
Yeah. At the university here.
Right.
All over.
Right. All right.
Okay.
It's like, it's really, hacky sack is a mumbling for your feet. Let your feet mumble. It's not quite exercise, but it's just a little movement. All right, and Drew, as you know, if you listen to the radio or pass any of those billboards, 400,000 Americans died from cigarette smoke last year. You know,
secondhand smoke?
No, 50,000.
I see.
Or 56,000.
Well, 400,000 died of cigarettes, and 4 million must have died of secondhand smoke.
Well, here's the deal. The people who died in the World Trade Center?
Yeah.
5,000, they're speculating?
They would have died anyway.
Put a zero behind that. Those are all the people that died of secondhand smoke every year. Yes, according to the folks who make that data fit for whatever particular cause they're trying to make it fit for. And again, Drew, real quick, as a doctor, ever treat anyone for secondhand smoke?
No.
Do you have friends that have treated people for secondhand smoke in the medical community?
No.
Ever admit anyone in a hospital for secondhand smoke?
No.
What about when you're just making your rounds? You ever see anyone there with a secondhand smoke on their chart? No. It's nonsense. Thank you. Tommy?
Oh, hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
So I'm 20 years old, and my sex drive's pretty much gone. Like, I don't really think about or care about sex, like, at all. Really hasn't been that bad, but it's starting to, like, affect relationships with girls that, you know, I'd like to get to know better.
Are you on any medication?
No.
Do you have any medical problems?
No.
Have you been depressed?
Those are the first questions everyone asks, but, like, no, I'm not depressed. I'm pretty happy.
Have you had a medical evaluation to see what's going on with this?
I went and got my testosterone levels checked and my thyroid checked, and they were both normal.
I want to check prolactin, too. Sometimes prolactin tumors and...
Prolactin?
Yeah.
Maybe
there's a great book about a guy who got a prolactin screening tumor whose sex drive shut off.
Drew says he has it in his car, but he doesn't.
No.
Hey, Tommy?
Yeah.
You into women? Maybe you like the guys.
No. I'm pretty sure I like girls because whenever I have
a 20,
it's been to girls.
Ooh. What if you saw some gay porn?
I don't think that would really do anything for me.
Yes, no, but would you projectile?
Like, I've seen naked guys. I, like, hang out in locker rooms sometimes, and I've seen plenty of naked guys, and I never am, like, thinking, damn.
Wow. You just sound confused, Tommy, and I don't know if it's because you're shut off sexually, that it's all sort of a, you know, a flat playing field. It's all nothing to him. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, can you imagine a 20 going...
Yeah,
I think I'm into girls. I think so.
Hold on a second. I got to put Tommy on hold because...
You're going to fart.
No, he talks every time one of us start talking. Yeah, he's silent, but just in the wrong periods. Yeah, all right, so go ahead. What were you saying?
But I wonder if he's just so biologically shut down that it's all just sort of nothing to him. Guys, girls, all sort of, well, I'm into girls. I should be. Imagine saying that at 20.
No.
No, yeah.
I would not say that at 20. Tommy?
Yeah.
Do you have a girlfriend?
I haven't had a girlfriend for a year. I've been with girls since then, but it's kind of, it fizzles out. A lot of times, like, I think probably a reason is just because, like, you know, like, I don't know. It's pretty hard for me to get aroused. It's like I could be, you know.
When's the last time you beat off?
I actually beat off last night.
And how, was that the first time in a long time, or?
No, I probably do about... four times a week, three times a week.
That's good.
No. What do you think about? Who do you think about, me or Drew?
I think about girls. I think about, you know, I mean, I don't think about necessarily, like, having sex with girls. I think about girls, though. I think about, like, you know, sexy things about girls.
What does that mean?
Well, like, you know, like TNA, I guess.
All right. And what do? You a college student?
Yeah, I'm a student and a server.
You're healthy emotionally otherwise? No trauma history?
I feel like it.
Let me float. Okay, Tommy. Let me float this theory, Drew.
By the way, sex drive has not been really decreasing. He's masturbating five times a week. What's he talking about?
Well, let me say this. There's certain guys that just got a little higher RPM motor in them.
Right.
Like Drew.
Right.
Drew's a passionate man. And it's sort of like a food that you love... and you cannot fathom other people not enjoying it when you're a huge fan. I love macadamia nuts, and whenever I hear my two partners, Jimmy and Daniel, say they hate them, I go insane because I love them so much.
Right.
I can't imagine. I'm angry at them. And if I was a doctor, I'd say there's something wrong with you. You should get checked up. I'd give them the crash cart and the paddles, right?
But some guys have a low energy.
But Tommy... sounds
just low energy.
Yeah, not that he's gay, but that he's maybe floating a little somewhere closer to heterosexual. But just the cadence of his voice and the tone of his voice and everything, it sounds like maybe women aren't a big priority.
He's bisexual,
and
I agree with you.
Wonder if this is sort of his natural sexual cadence.
Yeah.
Now maybe that may be even low for him right now.
Right.
But it didn't seem like he's going to be any world-class cocksman, even when he does fire on all cylinders.
I agree with you.
All right. We'll take it. I mean, it's not like Drew is a passionate man. Drew is, I mean, you people are listening think I'm kidding. Drew is a passionate man. Okay. We'll be back after this.
Loveline. 1-800-LOVE-191.
We'll be right back.
Oh, yeah. Loveline. I'm Adam. That's Drew over there. I'd give the phone number out, but we got enough of your calls. So we'll hop on the phones and see if we can't help some kiddies. Gary?
Yeah.
You're 18.
Yeah.
Your 14-year-old neighbor wants you to take her virginity?
Yeah. And I don't know what to do about it.
Don't do that.
Huh?
Don't do that.
Don't do it?
Don't do it. This is a disturbed young person, and you are sort of participating with her in her traumas. And it's illegal.
Yeah, I know that.
Are you are you her boy? You ever date her or anything?
No. She just moved in like a month ago.
It's a disturbed person, Gary, I'm telling you.
Well, maybe she has a crush on him.
14.
Does she like you?
Yeah, she said she liked me. And
what do you think of her?
I like her, too.
Adam, a 14-year-old, take my virginity, please. Please, that's not okay.
No, I know, but, you know, they're neighbors and...
Oh, no, Garrett, they're in Bakersfield. Think about it.
Oh, my God, you're calling from Bakersfield?
Yeah.
You got to get out of that town. She moved into Bakersfield?
No, she grew up here.
No. Yeah.
See what I'm saying?
She's got serious problems.
All right.
Yeah. I'll tell you what, Gary.
Yeah.
You can take her virginity, but you can't enter the house. You have to do it through the mail slot. Do you guys have doors there? Or?
Yeah.
I just picture like a screen door flapping in the wind, a hound dog waiting to die out on the porch, a tumbleweed blowing by. I said, Gary, what are you doing? You're 18? Are you going to school? Or?
I graduated.
And?
And I'm looking for a job.
Uh-huh. Mm. Why don't you join the military?
Yeah, that's what I'm going to probably
good.
Do it.
Get on your knees, scumbag!
Yeah, you get yourself a nice skill, right?
Yeah.
All right?
Yep.
All right, no, listen, she's a screwy girl. You're going to get involved with her. There's going to be trouble, and as Drew says, it's illegal. So don't do it, okay?
All right.
Just join the military, all right?
Please.
All right. All right. Let's talk to John, who's 31. John?
Mm-hmm.
What's up?
First of all, don't join the military. Well, I went, I had sex with this girl.
Hold on, don't join the military?
No. No.
Okay.
Oh, John, such a jackass.
He really is officious.
He just used the F word, so we had to put him on hold. Don't worry, John. We'll get back to you, though, buddy. Josh?
Yeah.
You're 20. What's up?
Yeah, I'm in this relationship with this girl for like 10 months now. And I went on a date with another girl like a week ago.
Right.
The original relationship, we live 3 hours apart. Hey, I care for her a lot.
The girl you've been dating for 10 months?
Right, I care for her a lot.
Right. Who lives 3 hours apart?
Me and her.
Okay, all right.
Okay. Now, but this girl that I went on this date with, she's fantastic. I just thought maybe you guys could offer some advice on...
Why do you live so far apart from your other friend?
I moved away.
Okay, is this one fantastic looking, or it's her personality, or what is it?
Oh, it's everything.
How did you work the date out? How'd that come about?
She asked me, actually, which is another great thing, huh?
Really? All right, so it doesn't sound like you're too committed to this 10-monther. And yeah. You found somebody else.
You got to wrap up the old relationship. You're not living together any longer. It's run its course. It's time.
But here's the deal. Don't bring up the new person.
No, that actually was sort of transgression. You know, it's not a good
thing.
You
give her that. I need time to clear my head. This isn't my famous line I've used on the ladies is, it isn't you, it's me. I don't like you. It brings it back to them, but for a moment it's a nice distraction.
It's a distraction, but they have to think about it.
Have to process.
In the meantime, you're running.
Yeah, give her that whole, it's not you, it's me.
I've lost my feelings for you.
Throw in the ironic, you're too good for me, I don't deserve you. I like that one, too. Does that apply to anything in life? Close your eyes. You worried about driving a car that's too nice for you? You worry about living in a house that's too good for you? Or job that pays too much?
What's your motivation?
Your motivation, you want out. But give her a nice thing, and don't tell her about these other guys, or other girl. Pardon me. Sarah, go ahead.
Hi, how are you guys doing?
Good, what's up?
Not much. First, really quick, kind of off the subject. Dr. Drew, are you still doing Mars Venus? Because I don't get to watch daytime TV.
No, I'm not. That actually went out of production quite some time ago.
Well,
but
I haven't watched daytime TV in like 8 months because I work all the time.
But I've been in cities out prior to last week. And boy, there it was. It's still syndicated around here and there, so yeah, it's around.
It was a great show.
Oh, he's a passionate man. Go ahead, sir.
Okay, so my question is, my dad started taking Zyban to quit smoking, and the thing is, he started acting a little strange. Seems like your regular symptoms of depression.
Huh.
You know, you've seen those commercials. You know, nothing matters to you anymore, and all that stuff. And,
oh, interesting.
So I told him, I said, it sounds like he's starting to suffer from depression. So he told me that he stopped taking his Zyban just about 3 days ago because he feels like it's messing him all up inside.
Hmm.
So I was wondering if somebody who's not depressed, because Zyban is an antidepressant, if somebody who is not depressed taking an antidepressant if that can have this trigger effect where it can actually throw you into depression.
No, it really should not do that.
I talked to another girl that I work with.
It can make you uncomfortable, it can make you anxious, and give you other kinds of symptoms that may ultimately affect your mood, but not specifically cause depression.
All right.
In other words, if you're having panic attacks, anxiety, that some people react to anxiety with becoming depressed. But it sounds more like he had side effects from the Zyban, stopped using it, and he's depressed because he's no longer smoking. There is a big depression that can occur when you come off nicotine sometimes.
Good times. Tim?
Yeah. Hey, Adam, Drew.
Hey, Tim. I'm 35. You got cockroaches?
Dude, all over the apartment.
Yeah.
And my landlords will not let me allow a bug bomb.
Really?
Yeah. They said they would evict me. If I use a bug bomb.
Yeah. Listen, Nimrod, you don't tell your landlord you're going to pull off one of those holiday foggers. You do it.
I tried to, and they come by every day. It's a big complex here in Arcadia. And,
fogger check?
Pardon?
Yeah. Okay. But listen, here's the problem with roaches when you're in an apartment. They go between apartment to apartment.
Yeah. My neighbors, I think, are growing them.
Call Arcadia Public Health.
Really?
Well, yeah, because your landlord should
he's
have to take care of this problem.
That's
whatever.
Okay?
Okay, thanks, man.
All right. Bye-bye. All right. I don't know what to do with roaches. I've lived in a lot of dumps in my day. I've never had any problems with roaches. And thank God, because I go nuts. I cannot stand roaches. I don't know what's wrong with them. I mean, I don't know why I'm so frightened of them. No one's ever been attacked by a roach or been bitten by a roach or been infected by a roach, but there's something... And they stay in the kitchen for the most part.
It's gross.
But there's just something... they just spell filth.
Yeah.
All right. I'm going to shower now because I feel one in my underpants. Oh, wait a minute. It's my penis. We'll take a break. There you go. Another fantabulous evening.
Escaped without a lightning round.
Put to bed.
Thankfully.
Yeah. I think we may have to work the lightning round in tomorrow night, and I'll tell you why.
Why?
Because folks need to know what time it is, and not only what time it actually is, but then the math, which is how far it would be from the other, you know, the top of the hour.
And the weather.
And the weather. And the traffic. It's important to get that traffic rammed up your ass every 5 minutes when you listen to radio. Slow and go over to the lookout for brake lights. What does lookout for brake lights even mean? Isn't the whole point of brake lights?
Tomorrow. Tonight we're leaving.
Okay. All right. So until next time, this is Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.
First of all, don't join the military.
This has been Loveline. The opinions expressed on this show are not necessarily those of the staff, management, sponsors, or this station. The producer for Loveline is Ann Wilkins Engel. Loveline is a presentation of Westwood One Entertainment.